we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name's Bob Arthurs. We want to thank you for tuning in today. And also thank you to Jits Concrete right here in Cocoa, Florida, for helping to support Merritt Assembly of God and, you know, in all of our ministries and missions works and all of that. They've been doing concrete and block work here in Brevard County for a long time. Their phone number, if you need any help in that area, is 536-5804, 536-5804. Ask for Greg. Tell him you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast. You know, I've been seeing new construction taking place. There's some construction taking place in the area of our church and a new business that is coming in, an abandoned house that had been torn down, and there's something new going in its place. And isn't that really kind of what Christmas? Isn't that what the resurrection is all about? That lifeless, rickety old house that was our life before Jesus, that it gets demolished so that he can put something beautiful, functional in its place. And so I pray that this resurrection season that you will get to experience the renovating work of Jesus Christ. He does really good work. In fact, he is an expert at life renovations and life transformation. So I highly recommend that you get to know him as much as possible. Today, I want to take you to John the 17th chapter. John the 17th chapter. And I'm going to read this because I've got a very simple premise for you today, that the covenant relationship that we've been talking about here, that Jesus has never stopped praying for you. He intercedes on behalf of the saints. So listen to what it says, John chapter 17, verse number 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth, and I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. I have come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. My premise is this: before Jesus went to the cross, he was praying for us. He was praying specific things for us. Not lackluster, weak prayers, but he was praying things like this: Father, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. You see, as Jesus was preparing to go to the cross, he wanted it to result in glory for God. He wanted God to be glorified. And you and I, that should be a great desire for us. He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. And so one of the ways that God brings glory to his name is he enables us to do things by his power, by his Spirit, that we could not do on our own. It could only happen when God is working on our behalf. Have you asked God to empower you to accomplish things greater than what you could do in your own strength, greater than what we could do together? In fact, the only way that it could possibly be accomplished is if God did the work through us. Because that's really what God wants to do. He also says, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. The reason that we are to go into all the world, I remind you what it says in Matthew chapter 28. Let me turn back there so I can read it. Everybody knows verses 19 and 20. But let me tell you what it says in verse number 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, he's speaking to the disciples, to us, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Jesus says that the reason that you and I are participants in the Great Commission is because he has been given all authority. He says here in verse number 2, as you have given him authority over all flesh. And so I want you to recognize that Jesus is not desirous of being a silent partner in your life. He's looking to be the ultimate authority in my life, in your life, in everyone's life. I believe that if we truly believe that he never fails and he never missteps and he never misspeaks, that we would do ourselves a great favor if we would allow him to have ultimate authority in our life. So he says in verse number 6, I manifested your name to the men you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. So it would be wise of us to analyze ourselves in relation to his word as we are looking to this resurrection season. And so I want to ask you this question. Is there anything that God has instructed you to do that you have not done, that you've not followed through on, that you maybe you started and you didn't complete it? You see, several years ago, I felt like God asked me to prayer walk Merritt Island. Not every street, but the perimeters, the boundaries of it. And so I did. I started all the way down where the swivel bridge is at the southernmost tip of Merritt Island. I went down there and I prayed for it. I'd been in the person's house that used to own the very tip of Merritt Island, that point where the dragon used to be and it is no more. And by the way, I really like it when dragons get defeated. But there are people that want to rebuild that thing and all of that. And I'm not into that at all. But I started prayer walking there, and I was much younger then than I am now. And, you know, walking was not a strange thing for me. I could walk 4 miles, 5 miles, 6 miles without a problem. That day I walked, I believe it was 19 miles. And I got to a point and I called my son and I said, I didn't get to my destination. I didn't get to the end of the journey. It might've only been 12 miles that day. But all I did know was that I had walked as far as I could walk that day. And I realized that it was a much larger task than just taking a stroll. You see, I wasn't out there just to participate with my foot, you know, that everywhere you put the sole of your foot, I'm going to give that to you. I was actually out there praying over people's homes and looking for opportunity to build relationship. And so I did that, but I'll be honest with you. It was painful. It hurt. It was inconvenient. It was hot. It wasn't a pleasant, it wasn't all bells and whistles. And so I didn't make the rest of the journey. And I was sitting in my office manager's office one day. She wasn't there and I needed something from her computer. And so I was in there and God spoke to me and he said this, did you ever finish that prayer walk that I told you to take? And I said, no, sir, I didn't do it. It was painful. And he said, well, when do you anticipate that you are going to finish it? And I want you to see, I don't know how God speaks to you. Maybe he pats you on the head and tells you how wonderful you are all the time. But God, when he speaks to me, he is provoking me to be the best me that I could possibly be. He's not looking for my excuses. He's not looking for my reasons. He just wants me to be the best me that I can be. And when he tells me to do something, it's not supposed to be a take it or leave it suggestion. It is supposed to be something that prompts me to act. And so I happened to be at my office manager's desk and there was a Microsoft Streets and Trips program on there. And I began to plot out. I pulled up Merritt Island and I looked and I strategized as to how I could accomplish this, not in one fell swoop, but in stages to where I could walk the perimeter. And so, yes, I've been all the way down to the tip of Angel City and I have prayed there. And so wherever you are, anywhere between the southern tip of Merritt Island, all the way up to the Space Center property line, I have prayed for you. If you travel that road, I've prayed for you. I've been on the northern or the easternmost boundary and the westernmost boundary. I've walked all of that and prayed for you. And I tell you that story because God had told me something to do and I didn't do it until he prompted me. And I said, you know what? If God asked me to do it, there's a reason why he wants me to do it. I saw things on that journey that I'd never seen before. I want to ask you, have you kept his word? Have the things that he's spoken into your life, have you kept it? One of the things that I see in the New Testament, when I was preaching from the NIV, it said things like this, and the people hung on every word that Jesus spoke. They were captivated by his word. They were soaking it in. They didn't want to miss anything. You see, there was no replay button. There wasn't any way that they could back up and come back and catch it again. There was no Memorex tape. There were no CDs, no digital video recorders or anything like that. If they wanted it, they had to catch it the first time that he spoke it. So have we kept his word? Because Jesus is looking for disciples who will keep his word, retain his word, obey his word, distribute his word. Let's be people who do that. He said, for I've given them the words you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Jesus is not just a historical figure. He's the Son of God. When he speaks, he is not speaking as one who has an opinion. He's speaking as one who has authority. When he speaks to what's best for our body, he is speaking as the architect, the designer, and the creator of our body. When he speaks to us as the one who directs our steps and directs our path, he is speaking not as one who wonders if this road will take you where you want to go, but he's speaking as an expert navigator. You know, for us, as we're driving around roads, I remember one time the map said, there's a road here, take this. And when we took that road, it took us longer than what we were expecting. It was a logging road. It was a dirt road filled with potholes and things like that. And it was a much more painful journey. The map said it was a road. And technically it was, but it wasn't much of one. And Jesus, when he speaks into our life, he speaks as one who knows the beginning and the end and every step, every mile in the journey in between the two. Let's allow God to be the navigator of our life. When he speaks to us and describes the way relationships should function, he's... You know, I had a conversation with a person, and they told me a story of how they had encountered this young lady that was fresh out of school, and she was proposing the latest theory on child rearing that had been propagated, and this goes back 30 years or more. And he looked at her and said, "Young lady, I have a question for you. First of all, are you married? Second, do you have any kids? Third, have you ever had any kids? Have you ever raised kids?" And the answer to all of those things, you see, all she knew was theory. And this was a man who dealt with facts. And Jesus knows the reality of whatever you are going through. You see, he's an expert engineer. Who else do you know that could tell Noah how to build an ark bigger than anything that had ever been built before? And it floated, and it was the only method of survival for humanity at that time. And it didn't leak. It survived the worst storm this world has ever seen. And it was the prototype. That can only happen when God is the engineer and the architect and the design. You see, I believe that we should believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he knows what he's talking about. Let's look at what he says. Verse number 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Listen, if you are going to celebrate the resurrection in a godly manner, it needs to be as a united body of believers. There should not be strife and discord. There should be unity in the house of God. There should be unity in your home. There should be peace in your home. There should be joy in your home. There should be health in your home. There should be godliness and righteousness and sanctification in your home. Those are some fancy words, and we'll talk about them here in just a moment and simplify them. So, because if they're complicated and we don't understand them, they do us no good. He says, but now I come to you, and all these I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So, question. I can't hear your answer, but my question is this. Is the joy of Jesus residing in your heart right now? Again, I remind you that as I'm sharing this message, the loss of my grandmother is still very fresh. But you know what? That doesn't taint my joy, because my joy comes from God. It is the joy of the Lord. It is the joy of God being sovereign over every area of my life, and to know that death had lost its grip on her, that Jesus held the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and that her casket is equipped with a spiritual ejection seat that has launched her into the presence of the Lord God Almighty. You see, I've got this vivid imagination. I just take it, the scripture that says God always leads his people in triumphal procession, to mean that God's always going to lead his people in triumphal procession. Thanks be to God who gives his people victory, who always gives his people victory. And so you and I've watched a lot of basketball games, and I see that people who are victorious have a lot of joy, and people who experience defeat end up shedding a lot of tears. But let's experience the joy that God has. He says in verse number 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. And so a lot of times we set our sights. Now listen, I'm looking forward to going to heaven. I'm looking forward to being with Jesus. I'm looking forward to being together with the saints and all of the victory that comes with that, but not until the Father says it is time. Until then, we have a job to do. We have a job to do, and that is to plunder the kingdom of hell, to populate the kingdom of heaven. We are here to snatch as many souls from destruction as possible. We are supposed to be ambassadors for Christ, bearers of good news. We are supposed to be evangelists wherever we go, letting our light shine. He is not going to take us out of this world. Oh God, Elijah cried, kill me. They're trying to kill me. Just go ahead. I'm all by myself. Just end it all. I just want to die. Elijah, if you wanted to do that, all you had to do was stay there. Jezebel would have taken care of it for you. But the fact that you've come into the presence of God means that you want to live. You want to experience the presence of God and him to change your heart and change your direction. I want you to know that as long as you are in the world as an ambassador for Christ, you are backed up. You are empowered by all authority. You are backed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He goes on and he says, I pray for them that you will sanctify them by your truth. Sanctify means to be set apart. It means to be set apart. It is not for the common, ordinary, everyday, mundane usages. It's set apart. It's set apart for God's use, for holy. I want you to know that he has called you apart so that he could cleanse us. I want to be a vessel of honor for him. I don't want to be a vessel of discipline. I don't want to be a vessel that is used as a bad example. You know, there's that saying, no one is completely worthless. They can always serve as a bad example. I don't want to be that person. I want to be a vessel of honor, a vessel filled with the presence of God, the goodness of God. I want to be filled with the word of God. I want to be pointing people to Jesus and say, if he did this for me, he can do this for you. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You and I, we should be lovers of God's word. We should be partakers of God's word, because the more of his word that resides inside of us, the more we're going to know just how truly special we are, how much he wants to set us apart for his purposes. So your word is truth. I pray that you will partake of that. And he says, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Jesus was sent here to go to the cross. He's not going in defeat. He's going to go in victory. And when he sends you and I on a task, on a mission, he does it so that we will be victorious. And then he says this in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. We've talked about it, that he wants us to be one in the Lord. And he says this, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. He says, God, what I want more than anything is I want these that are going to believe in me, I want them to be with me where I am. I want them to be with me where I am. I want them to know that I'm a glorious God. I'm a wonderful Savior. I have amazing grace that I want to display in their life. And so I encourage you. One of the first verses that I was instructed to memorize was Revelation 3:20. We oftentimes use it as a salvation message. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him and sup with him and he with me. And I want you to know that that's actually a message to the church. He's saying, church, don't get so full of yourselves that you have no room for me. Don't shut me out of your life just because you think you are no longer in danger, but open the door, commune with me, fellowship with me. May you have the best few days that you could have with Jesus. And I, you know what? I hope to see you. If you don't have a church home, we hope to see you Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, at Merit Assembly of God. Special program tomorrow. See you next week right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.